Welcome to Run, Build, Grow, the podcast that laces up its running shoes and dives deep into the heartbeat of the communal spirit of running. I'm your host, Andrew Ware, the Runnin' Rev, and I'm thrilled to take you on this exhilarating journey where we explore stories that go beyond the pavement. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode. As we dive in again to these great, awesome stories, today I have from the Montgomery County Roadrunners, Libby Miller. She is also a JNA ambassador for those of you in the Hampton Roads area. Yes, that might sound weird. Someone from Maryland being involved in JNA down here in Hampton Roads. But friends, this is how far our community reaches. There are no bounds on how we express this. And Libby and I talk about how she got involved with JNA, what it looked like for them to do Shamrock and all of these JNA races. So this is an exciting conversation just about the bounds or the extent to which our community reaches beyond even what we think of as our local community and how far it reaches and that role we can do. And you're going to hear a lot of that in this story today. So let's dive into this conversation with Libby Miller. All right. Welcome in, everyone. This week, I'm joined by Libby Miller from up in the Maryland area. And there's a great connection. For those of you who have been longtime listeners will remember, you know, a lot of the early episodes with Jerry and Amy Frostick. Libby has come on this year as a JNA ambassador. You know, we're so excited to have her in. And kind of non-traditional in a sense, because you're not necessarily from the 757, but you bring this different out of area perspective. So before we dive into like a lot of that and what kind of not got you into the JNA scene, but what got you into this running scene, Libby, what is your community and what makes your community awesome?
Yeah. So thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk about this. So I live in Silver Spring, Maryland, which is outside of the DC, called like the DMV, DC, Maryland, Virginia area. Huge running community. I belong to the Montgomery County Roadrunner Club. So this club is about 3,000, over 3,000 members. It's one of the largest running clubs in the country. I didn't know that when I joined. And I think what makes it so special is, so the motto of the club is there's a place for every pace. And I really think that they actually, you know, people can say that, not necessarily uphold to it, but I think that the club actually does a great job of making sure there's a space for every runner. So we offer over 20 different training programs, which range from the 5K all the way up to the marathon. We have all these weekly runs that folks can join throughout the week. If that's not, you're not training for anything. We also offer over 30 races a year, and also offer that up to the youngest, so kids can participate in some of these races. So there's really an opportunity for everyone to sort of find their group and find their people. And I've been able to really, I'm also kind of new to the area. I moved here maybe 4 years ago from California. And it was one of the first things that I did was join this group. And I've made all sorts of friends and really sort of dove deep. I'm on the board of the directors for the running club, and I actually coach a couple of their marathon training programs that I recently got on their racing team. So I just dove headfirst and really integrated myself into it. And it's just been such a great experience.
Wow. I mean, it kind of sounds like me getting involved down here, moving into Hampton Roads after I moved from Richmond. So, you know, because I have that experience, my next question is, you know, so what sort of running were you doing before you moved to Maryland? You know, when you were in California, were you a big runner? Were you already integrated into the community out there? So this was kind of like a natural thing. Why don't you take us back to those California days and what was going on out there for you?
Sure. Yeah. So I guess I'll even take it back even further than that. I used to be a reporter. So my job was very transient. I used to work in a couple of different local newspapers. And so everywhere I actually worked on the East Coast in Boston and New York, and I actually worked in South Dakota of all places in the Midwest. And then I went to California for grad school and ended up working at some newspapers out there. And it's kind of where I found each place I've gone, I've always found a sense of community, and it's how I've made friends. And even I've met my husband through a running group when I lived in California. And so it's always been sort of a natural fit for me. I've always been someone that's wanted to be outside. I think I've had different variations of where I've taken my running. At times it was more just a casual way to escape. As being a reporter, it's a very intense job. It's talking to people all day long. It's taking in some not great news and putting it out to the public. And so it was my escape. Running's always been an escape for me to sort of get away from that and kind of just be in my own space, be in my own head, talk to people outside of my own profession. And so that's sort of given me the opportunity to, like, you know, just dive in. And then when I moved out to Maryland with the Montgomery Roadrunners Club, my, you know, running did get a little bit more serious, I'd say. But out in California, I ran with a group called Team Red, White, and Blue, which is it's a veteran group. You probably heard of them, but it's a veteran.
We're very familiar with them over here.
Yeah, great. So that's actually where I met my husband, who he's a veteran. Nice. And we met in California through the San Francisco chapter. And, you know, so I've always, California was pretty active in that group. And when I moved out to Maryland, you know, we didn't know that many people out here. My parents had moved out here. And so we came out this way, the right start of COVID. My husband signed me up for a Christmas gift and I probably didn't know what he was getting himself into because hasn't like seen me since. Cause I'm just like, so he didn't realize what he was doing. Extroverted wise, like getting thrown into like a running club. I think it's a great way for people that are like transitioning out of, you know, I'm a young adult. I have a job, but I'm not in school per se, or I'm not, you know, it's like, where do you find those folks that are going to be like-minded like you, like into fitness, wanting to take care of their mind and body, like to be outside, like movement, you know, maybe we're not going to the club anymore. We're not going out having drinks. So it's just been a way for me to like naturally meet folks. And like, to me, that's irreplaceable.
And so have you always been a runner? Like, did you run in school, high school, you know, middle school? Is this something that you came to as an adult as you're working in this journalistic field?
So I didn't run in high school. That wasn't necessarily like the thing that I did in high school, but I think I came into it sort of a little bit later in life. So maybe my early 20s or so. I've always been sort of more anxious person. I'm very type A. Because of the profession of being in journalism for so many years, it is a very high stress job. It can be a high stress job. Running kind of like fit my way to sort of release all of that. And so I started out, you know, very, very basic runner, just, you know, as I think a lot of us do. We don't really know what we're doing. We're told it's a very, you know, just take your shoes and go. Started to do that. And then slowly I think I signed up for my first couple races, started to dabble in that. And then I did a few marathons in my early 20s. And then I sort of took a bit of a break between the racing. And then I would say in my later 20s and up till now, I've really fallen in love with the aspect of racing. I think it's just having that goal oriented sort of mindset is really nice. And then you add in the running club and the training programs. It's like, you know, everyone's favorite question. What are you training for? What are you doing? So,
yeah.
And there's so many great races out in the DC, Maryland, Virginia area that it's like hard not to want to sign up for something. And then what I've seen too for myself is over the last 4 years, I've really gotten smarter with my training. I think it's so interesting that as you get older, you can get faster. I think that's something that it's like, if you had told me that, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, I'd be like, there's no way I'd be running faster in my early 30s than in my 20s, but I am. And I think it's partly because you're learning more about how to train smartly, how to be, you know, take care of your body, fuel and all that. Where before I would just go out and run, and now it's like, and I know there's a lot more thought and process and how to start training for stuff.
And what a kind of good entrance that makes, you know, coming in as an adult, and you've already talked about the nature of even wanting to get out in community and whether that's to kind of disconnect from the work community. You know, I don't know how much of like the work side often bleeds over into going to run groups. But I know at least for me, when I'm at Run Group, I try and make it, okay, this is about running. This is about, you know, this community right now. So try and leave the work stuff, even if there are, you know, I guess my profession might be a little bit different than a reporter who's in a newsroom with a bunch of different people. And so what's it been like in all of these different, you know, areas that you've been as a transient person? Because I can imagine this move to Montgomery County, Maryland, it sounds like it played out similarly to what you've done in other communities. And so, and you seem like a very outgoing person, I would imagine, and maybe hazard a guess that you're very extroverted and you enjoy being around people. I could have that completely wrong. But so when you get to a new community, kind of what is the process that you go through? Like, what are you doing to find these groups, to find these clubs, to begin to get involved?
Yeah, so I am an extrovert person. I think part of being, and so I've been a local, I'm no longer a reporter right now. I work in media relations for a nonprofit, but I, having been a reporter for, you know, like a decade, like small talk is sort of my bread and butter. Like I can kind of converse with anyone. I don't look at anyone as like, I'm better than you, or we have some sort of divide. Like I can have a conversation with you, whatever that may be. I always try to look for like commonalities. Like, how can we kind of converse together? So I think that every group that I've read into, you know, I'm kind of, I'll just introduce myself. It's not easy. I think sometimes people, you know, it's not easy for everyone to sort of go and just dive in and be like, hello, I'm here. But I found that, you know, everyone kind of feels that way. So I feel like when you start going and introducing yourself, you're like, you realize like that person's also a little bit nervous. So let me just try to sort of bridge divide and talk to them. So when I joined Montgomery Roadrunners, like I said, my husband, you know, I was actually looking for a running coach when we first moved to Maryland. I wanted to get a little bit stronger on the marathon. Like long story, but I was actually supposed to run the Boston Marathon in 2020, which got canceled, because of COVID. So I trained up for that twice, and I ended up running it virtually, actually in a small town in Maryland with a friend, and the newspaper covered us, and it ended up being like a really nice ending to that sort of experience of wanting to run that. I eventually got to run the real Boston Marathon in 2023, which was an unforgettable experience, but I was looking for a running coach, trying to get serious with running. My husband was like, let's try to find a running club. Went online, found the Montgomery Roadrunners, and they actually had a speed development program starting in January. Ooh. So it was like a 4-month program. They met at the track. I remember my first day going there, a girl approached me, and she is now one of my like closest friends. She just said, hi, I'm Judy. And I introduced myself and we just started chatting away. It's so funny that running, I don't know, maybe there are other hobbies that connect people the same way, but I feel like running is just so special because we all just sort of like gel. Like, I know if you're a runner, we are going to get along. Like, I don't even need to know anything else about you. I just know that if you like running and it makes you happy, because I don't run because I want to lose weight or because someone's forcing me to do it. I run it because I genuinely like how it makes me feel. Mm. And so if I run into a runner, for everything else about you, like we'll get along. And so I think it's just keeping that in mind. And then having had traveled so much, I feel like I just have like a collection of stories. And so it's easy for me to sort of start making conversation with folks and kind of get them out of their own head. You know, what did you do for the weekend? What shows are you watching? Like, there's so much else that you can talk about that doesn't have to do with your profession. So I like that aspect of it.
And so you get to Maryland and you've talked a little bit about this sort of foray into getting involved with Montgomery County Roadrunners. And, you know, if you had asked me, Montgomery County, Maryland, for those who may not be aware, I mean, it's one of the count. I mean, again, it's one of those counties that's like right there next to D.C. I remember I didn't grow up in D.C. Hello. I spent 3 years of grad school in D.C. And so knowing that area really well, it's not that it surprises me that one of the biggest running scenes is outside the district. I really thought it would have been inside. And I'm sure y'all do a lot. And so you know, you get involved. And in one of the previous episodes, listeners, you'll remember the conversation with Katie Wax and her foray into the Atlanta Track Club and a lot of the stuff that they do. Of course, that's another really big nationally known one. And so what was it like? You know, your husband kind of signs you up, gets you registered, gets you interested. So those first couple of whether it's coaching sessions, group runs, again, obviously extroverted, so you probably don't have problems just like walking up to random strangers and becoming friends for life. But for our listeners who, you know, maybe they do have that hesitancy or, you know, maybe they're looking to take that extra step for you. What was it like for you going through the routine of beginning to get involved, especially in a club that has a lot of members, maybe a lot of different meetups, a lot of different places, a lot of different communities within the bigger community? What was that like for you getting involved? And what were some of the things that you did in that process?
Yeah, so the first training program, like I mentioned, was a speed training program, and it met twice a week. So we'd just go to those runs and intermix with the folks that I was, you know, assigned to run with the pace that we were at. And that program was really fun because it was geared towards like helping you get faster. And the big race that they target is the Cherry Blossom 10 miler, which is one of the biggest.
Yep.
10 milers in the DC area. It's really famous because it's around the cherry blossom time, which is a popular time to be in DC. So it was like the first time I'd ever done like a structured training program. And I was just really, it was really fun to like watch everyone train together in the program and then kind of see my own sort of benefits from the training. And then I already had a fall marathon signed up. You know, this is the fallout of COVID, everyone's races got deferred. And so I was deferred for the Marine Corps Marathon later that year. And they naturally had like another marathon program going on. So the Montgomery Roadrunners has so many different options of training programs. It's almost like you're never without a season of picking something to do. So their first time marathon program is like award-winning program. It won the RRCA first best program for first time marathoners. It's a 6-month program. So I joined that and then just kind of continued like making friends because you just have this bond. You run with the same people every single week as you train for something big like a marathon. You kind of develop a bond, like you see each other through ups and downs, the good runs, the bad runs, et cetera. And after that season, I actually was approached to coach the winter marathon program that was later that year. And I never really pictured that. I never saw myself as a coach, but I took the CBR training and started coaching, and I fell in love with coaching. It was so much fun to like lead my group, see everybody through, cheer them on. And then I actually went a step further and I ended up getting RRCA coach certified, like officially certified, which is like a 2-day program with the test so that I could, you know, coach people outside of just these programs. And I just kind of like fell into this like natural role. And maybe it's just like, I am such a positive, upbeat person. So being able to support people through the process of training for something, just brings me so much joy. So, and then I've continued to coach and then it sort of emboldened me to be on the board. So I'm like an odd case for me. I dove totally in. I just didn't know what I was doing, but I was like, let me just get more involved. I really like the people I'm spending time with. And then weirdly, like 7 or 8 of the people in my running club happen to be my neighbors. So it's like everywhere I go, I'm just running into runners all the time.
Yeah.
And it's for someone who like we bought our house out in Maryland with this kind of our forever home. It makes my heart happy to know that like I've sort of been able to create this really great sense of community around myself. You know, through the running club, like that's at the heart of it. Like they are the reason that I feel so connected to this community in Maryland, which, you know, in any big city area, Montgomery County is one of the largest counties in the state of Maryland. Like you could feel disconnected because it's hard to, you know, figure out where do I fit in here? So,
yeah.
So wonderful. And if I was like a new person coming into the club, I would say just join a program, join a weekly run, start showing up every couple of times. In fact, we have another running club out here called the DC Roadrunner Club, and I've been going out to them just to like just to meet new people and kind of expand my reach. And I also just like running in DC. It's really pretty with the monuments. So mm-hmm. I've been going there a couple times on a Monday night, not, you know, really affiliated with their club, but been showing up. They've been more than welcoming. And, you know, now I get to know a couple people that live in DC. So it's just, it can be scary at first, but I think runners are so welcoming if you just dive in.
And, you know, I mean, it is kind of weird for someone who just kind of jumps in with both feet and to say, you know, all right, we're just going to do this. We're going to get involved. But I also think the fact that there's space for someone to do that, like in a lot of running communities, and whether it is more organized in the sense of, you know, Montgomery County Roadrunners, or you're kind of starting your own little run meetup thing, you know, when there's space created in community, I think that's one of the things that helps folks to realize the joy that there is in joining these group runs. Because, you know, even if they can see someone, you know, for listeners, if you meet someone like Libby, and whether it's, you know, your first time, whether you're introverted or extroverted, I know a lot of introverts, they don't necessarily appreciate the extroverts just coming up to them. But, you know, it feels like a lot of times, even just to see that welcoming presence, to know that someone, you know, a lot of it sounds like paths you chose, right? You continued to want to do more things, but it also sounds like to me that there was space. Like if you just wanted to be there for running, if you just wanted to continue to train for races, there would have been that push. There would have been that encouragement there along the way as well. So when you're going and you're doing your weekly runs, when you're coaching, when you're doing all these things, you know, what are the ways that you're looking to get folks involved? How are you approaching new people? How are you approaching the veterans and the regular attendees of your clubs? How are you interacting with the different people? Because I have to imagine that based off the size of your membership, you know, you're going to these group runs. Now you're a leader in this run community. And I imagine these group runs, it's not, you know, 15, 20 people. I'm imagining more than that, maybe. So what is the role that you're taking in leadership to help folks now that you're on this end of it, of the leadership end, to make them feel comfortable as they're coming in?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So I think a lot of it, well, one is making sure that, the nice thing now is that now I feel like people know who I am in the community. So that is definitely helpful, you know, especially serving on the board. So now it's like, not only am I a participant, I'm like seeing it from like the big picture sphere. And so I've been really, I also do all the social media for the running club. And so that's allowed me to like hang out with the back of packers, the middle folks. And so if I go to an event, a lot of the time people will just know who I am. My husband says like, cause you're tiny and blonde, like everyone knows who you are. And so yeah, like it's easy to spot. Like, and I always wear pink. So it's like a no-brainer. That's Libby. But I also just, you know, I think like genuine connection. I think a lot of times, like you can be talking to someone and you feel like maybe they're not listening, or maybe they're just like their eyes over here. They're like looking for the next best thing. But it's like, if someone's going to talk to me, like I give them 100% of my attention. And I also like, so for an example, like I went to a group run with the DC Roadrunners the other week. A girl showed up brand new. She just moved to DC from Hong Kong. She's you know, a little bit of a like maybe a 10-minute pace runner, and you know the group that we were running with a little bit faster. At the end of the run, I actually, because I just know a bunch of folks in the area, I knew another run club that would be maybe a better fit for her, a little more casual, a little more her pace. And so I actually reached out to the director of that club and I connected them. And so I always try to find a way that someone can feel included. And if it's not with this a particular group, every runner has, you know, different ideals of what they want to get out of the run, like thinking about how to make sure that they feel included. And by serving on the board in particular, I've kind of had my hands. I talk with all the program directors, I talk with all the race directors. And so very quickly, I've started to sort of suss out like the different folks in the group. Granted, I probably don't know everyone, it's a big club, but I feel that I try to diversify who I'm talking to. So it's not just the fast runners or just, you know, my particular marathon group. Cause it's not a marathon running club. It is a, you know, a club for 5Kers and 10Kers. And so trying to, also interact with those folks. So it's not just you get siloed into knowing one particular demographic of runner. But I'll tell you, it's a really great feeling. I remember like we have a New Year's Day run and this year, and I was running it. And I think like everyone would say hi to me or shout my name when they're running. And this guy next to me is like, you're really popular. And I think, and it just made my, that comment, whatever, but it just made me feel special. Like I have been in this club for 2.5 years and this amount of people know who I am. So I feel really glad that like I get to know all these great, wonderful people that contribute to the club, because Montgomery Roadrunners is largely put on by volunteers. So we're all coaches, we're all volunteer coaches. All the program directors are volunteer led. All of our races are put on by volunteers. So it's a huge operation to support so many runners. And so it's a lot of just give back too. So it's not like we're all getting paid to do this. Like we do it because we love it. And we want to, you know, support our community, which I think is also really special.
And when you're doing a lot like that, how much is it of wanting to give back to the community, wanting to, you know, clearly something has clicked for you if in, you know, the 3 or 4 years that you've been involved in this club, you want to give back so much. And so looking at everything you've received, you know, that nature of giving back, not just to the running community, but even also to Montgomery County or to DC, what does that look like for you all? You know, as you're putting on races, how are you having these conversations with folks as you're getting a lot of this information out there? You know, what is that give back for a club that's as big as Montgomery County Roadrunners?
Yeah, so to give back, I think for me, I put a lot of weight and priority on health and fitness. I think it's something that is so important to one's like well-being. And you don't need to be an elite marathoner to have fitness. But if you move 30 minutes every day, not only are you physically improving your body, but you're also improving your mind. And I think just being in a community that's active and takes fitness and health, you know, and prioritizes that is good for the longevity of a community. And so I think that the running club is a great way to foster that because they're encouraging activity. So like my parents joined last winter, they joined the 5K and 10K program. They're not runners. They're in their mid 60s, but they were out in the middle of winter at the track walking. And I was like, cause they were so inspired by how much I loved it. And it's like, so just wanting to sort of set an example. I think for me, I think a lot about like mentorship. I actually wrote an article we have a newsletter about mentors. And so it's like, I don't want to lead people necessarily, but I just want to lead by example. And the more you have people out in the community wearing the running club gear, you see folks of all ages, of all ethnicities, of all body types running or moving in some capacity. They're taking an active step to better their life. And collectively that betters the whole community. And in Montgomery County in particular, and also in DC, we are so blessed to have these amazing running trails and this access to the outdoors that I don't take for granted because not every place has that. But we are so lucky and fortunate to have that. And it makes me so happy to see every time I go out on a run, there are so many people out using it and taking advantage of what's available to them. And so, and then because we offer opportunities for young children to start, you know, running and racing and getting out there, it's like we start at the youngest generation to the oldest, just to get moving and not sit at home and watch TV. I mean, I think about that all the time when I'm at track in the dark in February, it's cold. And I think about all the people that are at home watching TV, sort of cuddled up, not moving. And I'm like, we are just making our bodies a little bit better, our minds a little bit better by being outside and taking a break from the screens. So I think that is a way to give back. And, you know, I will never judge anyone, you know, where they are in their fitness journey. I think as long as you can just put one foot forward, start somewhere, like you're making progress.
The other thing that I find so fascinating In the short time that I've known you, because again, you know, listeners, a lot of these folks that I'm bringing on, I'm meeting them for the first time, and their stories are so inspiring from the moment I hear them. And Libby's is one of them, because, you know, one of the things that I often notice is, you know, in those local running communities, you can get caught up in that, like that one race that happens in your community every year. And, you know, if I'm going to hazard a guess, I might say that probably the biggest marathon that happens is probably Marine Corps. You know, obviously you have stuff like Cherry Blossom. Again, you know, these are local races that are happening up for Montgomery County Roadrunners. And, you know, we have them down here in Virginia Beach with the, you know, in Richmond, out in Roanoke, you know, all over. Everybody's got like those local races that are their big draw races. But an interesting part of your story is this thing that you have around, you know, coming down here for Shamrock. And I think it's great, because a lot of times we can get in that mindset where we only focus like on those local races. And in DC, it's amazing. And it's cool because they are such historic and amazing races. But I also think that there's something to maybe getting out and doing races in different areas. You know, it's something that I wish I could do a little bit more of at times. So, you know, tell us about this, this desire, this thing that has brought you to what you're kind of doing with Shamrock. You know, you're bringing all of these athletes you coach down here, and hearing, you know, from you how amazing they did and a lot of that stuff. So what's been sort of the incentive, the desire to maybe get folks out of DC, get them into onto different race courses, into different run communities, that's given you this connection to JNA to now be an ambassador for JNA and doing a lot of stuff with Shamrock?
Yeah, that's a great question. So yes, we obviously have lots of local races, which are great. When I first joined, it's funny how all of a sudden, you know, I was spent so many years in California, and then I came over here and everyone's like, you got to try this race. They talked about Richmond, Philadelphia, and California is such a big state. So if you're going to go anywhere, you're still in the state, right? You're not going to a different state. So it's funny how in this area, you know, you can drive a couple hours, you're in Virginia, a couple hours in Pennsylvania. So I've always kind of been like, oh, look how many more races I can do. Or look how many different opportunities I can do. And my favorite thing about running somewhere else is just a new route. You get to like see a different community. Like there's one thing, of course, right in your backyard that's special, but there's like, I get like the sort of extra excitement when I get to run somewhere that I've never run before. Just to sort of check it out, the local food, you know, see the different scene. And then everywhere that I've gone, I've always was like waiting in the corral with people, and you inevitably just, at least for me, I just start talking to people and find out where they're from. And that gets really exciting. So the Winter Marathon program that I direct and coach, we set a target race of Shamrock. And so we end our program sort of centering around that race. Of course, other runners will run other things like Boston or London or other, you know, spring marathons, but it's sort of the biggest spring marathon in the DMV area, actually, is Shamrock. That sort of lines up with the coaching that we do. And so last year we had several runners go down there, and it's funny because that was like one of my first marathons where I just Boston qualified. Like I already didn't think I could do that. I did that the year prior. And Shamrock was like the first race where I like let all that stress go. And I just totally enjoyed the race experience, like from start to finish without thinking about pace, goals, whatever. And it was just such a fun time that I was like, I got to find a way to come back here, and continue to like build this partnership with the Montgomery Roadrunners and this race, particularly because we have a program that targets that as sort of that we have a goal race for every program. We have a goal race that we target. So in the summer we target the Marine Corps in the fall. And then the winter program, you know, that's one of the target races that a lot of folks will sign up for. Or they also use it as like a half marathon training kind of test before maybe they go run Boston or something else.
Yeah.
So it's sort of just like aligned. And I really like running an early marathon so I can have recovery time before I inevitably, I keep saying, you know, that's this common saying that marathon, like people run, like, I'm never going to run a marathon again. But what's happened now is that, you know, everyone knows me in the community. And so they'll, I get sucked in, and it's a good thing. But as long as I stay healthy, knock on wood. And so that's been really fun. And then this past year, we have a competitive racing team, and it's been really fun to see that, like, over time, my paces have gotten faster. And so I actually qualified to get on the competitive racing team. And so those runners are, like, their whole thing is they just want to race. And so I've been connecting them to, like, come down to run in Virginia Beach with me. Just as they're looking, it's not that far of a drive. We all like to go to the beach. So it's a really easy kind of sell, I think. And the other upside of running in Virginia Beach is you guys are flat, and Montgomery County is not flat. We are a very hilly area. I think every race that we do is, besides Cherry Blossom, has some hills. So it's nice to, like, to know that, you know, we can come down here and run fast and not have to deal with the hill. So that's another, like, selling point for them.
That quad strength hits differently when you're running on flat surfaces rather than continuing to climb hills. Yes. I think when I lived in DC, I lived on Massachusetts, and, like, right turning out of my apartment complex, it was just straight uphill and then downhill and then uphill. And I was just like, by the time I got, like, a quarter mile from my house, I'm like, I'm done. This is all I can do. No, that's great, because I also think, and that's the big part of naming it too, is just the variability of, you know, what you're running, where you're running. You know, I love running races in Virginia Beach, but you know, I also love, you know, getting out and doing races elsewhere too. You know, like, I love running the Richmond Half. I'm someone who says they're never running a marathon again, and I am not. Luckily, I did my first marathon about 15 years ago, so I think I'm in good shape to never have to do it again. And am solely a half marathon guy. But, you know, I love and to get out and explore. And it, you know, it is cool to hear of run clubs that are finding opportunities to run in those different areas. And it is always weird, because a lot of communities, they only have, like, that one marathon a year. And so if you are a runner who's dedicated to a marathon and you want to get out, but I mean, like, here in Virginia Beach, I could run, you know, 5 or 6 half marathons and never leave the Hampton Roads area. And I think that, you know, speaking in that testament to, you know, sometimes it's nice to change up where you're running, right? You don't get into that rut. You don't get into that, you know, complacent rhythm. And so as you're coaching these athletes and you're getting them ready for all of these different races, I always love to ask the coaches, those who have done it for even just a little bit, you know, what are those nuggets that you're helping folks know and understand? What are those bits of wisdom that as folks are starting to get ready? I mean, even marathoning, you know, we're here, it's the end of August when we're recording this, and I think it's even going to come out towards the end of August, beginning of September. So folks are, like, they're 2, 3, 4 weeks into their fall marathon builds, kind of depending on when you race. I guess if you're doing Marine Corps, you're probably actually more like 6 weeks. So what are those tidbits of wisdom as a coach that you're bringing into helping these folks get ready for these fall marathons or just their first marathon?
Yeah, that's a good question. So there's obviously the practical coaching advice, which is, you know, definitely tailored to the runner in terms of getting the right nutrition, prioritizing sleep, fueling, which I feel like as a novice marathoner, you know, several years ago, I wasn't taking that seriously and not realizing that you actually need to be eating on your runs. So there's all that sort of, like, practical advice. But for the mental part, because I think that is where the marathon becomes more of a challenge than maybe some of the other distances, is that it really requires a lot of mental strength. I think it's kind of, there's, like, that quote of, like, run the mile you're in. I think it's really easy to sit at the bottom or the beginning of a marathon training program and be like, oh my God, how am I going to get all the way up to 20 mile run? And so taking it in sort of chunks. So, you know, 2 or 3 weeks at a time, you're going to get to the longer run. You're going to be so surprised when you get to it that it's not as daunting as it seemed when you first started. And there's also, you know, that tired saying of, like, the rule of thirds. So, like, some of the runs are going to be great, some of the runs are going to be okay, and some of the runs are going to be awful. And that's all part of the process. And it can mess with your mind. You can have one bad run and think, there's no way that I'm going to be able to finish a marathon. And I think it's, you have to take it, accept it, and just let it go, just like anything else. So you had a bad run, okay, sit with it for a minute, but don't let it derail the rest of your training. And I think you also need to think about when you have a hard run and you are able to overcome it, when you're having a bad day or you're in the midst of the marathon and things get difficult, because they will get difficult. There's no doubt. Everyone has a point in the marathon where it's going to get hard. Otherwise everyone would be doing it. Think back on some of those runs that you were having a hard time, but you were able to overcome it. And also think about the people that were around you at that time. I actually had a coach. She told me a really great sort of visualization technique, which is that the last 6 miles of the marathon, envision one person with you for each one of those miles and what they would say to you to like encourage you to finish. So I think we talk most harshly to ourselves. So if like your spouse or your friend was sitting next to you, like what would they be telling you as you were running that mile? They'd probably be telling you that you look awesome, that you're doing great, you're so strong. So trying to think of those things. I also have this like weird sort of technique when I go out for a run is sort of, I think of a quote or some sort of positive affirmation right before I start running. And I kind of hold that in for the run. Like that's going to be my mindset for the day. So I think a lot of these sort of like mental visualizations can be really helpful because it does become more of a mental challenge. And sometimes if you are having like a rough run, like, don't look at your watch, turn it off for the day. Like we all get beholden to really silly things like pace, time. But you have to take into account it's hot out, it's humid out. We live in a really interesting weather area compared to when I lived in San Francisco, California. It was weather every day. You know, that all adds to like the variability of how hard the run is going to be. So be easy on yourself. You know, that is sort of how I try to encourage people and just lift them up and also let them know that like, you can do this. And it's like you put into motion what you're going to do. So if you tell yourself, I'm not going to be able to reach this goal, then maybe you're not going to reach the goal. But if you tell yourself, I'm going to do this, you're going to do it. So you have to like put that positive mindset right at the forefront of your brain. And even if it's hard to do, write it down, whatever it is. And keep that with you. So, you know, because I think outside, like everyone else can see the work that you're doing. And I think, again, we just tend to be the harshest critics of ourselves. And the other, you know, thing, and I'm coming from the place of like, you know, I'm now more of a competitive runner. So, you know, it's easy to compare to other people, but you have to stay in your own lane. Whatever works for someone else works for them. You know what works for yourself. If you know that you can't go beyond a certain mileage, or you know that, you know, you need to take a rest day, don't worry about what your other partner is doing. Just focus on yourself and take care of what you need to do. As much as it is a group sport, you know, we always have to center it back to what works for us.
And it becomes so important in that too, of recognizing, you know, one where a lot of that, you know, sentiment comes from, like, right, like placing a lot of maybe the not negativity, but kind of like you said, we can be our harshest critics sometimes. And I often think about it, you know, when you're doing sort of those self-examinations, you often grade yourself harder than, say, like the other people who are examining you. And I wonder, as we're runners ourselves, you know, if it's taking a sense of, like you said, an inventory of, well, I wonder what my so-and-so, like my spouse or my best friend, or even, you know, I've heard, you know, Nike Global Run Coach, Coach Bennett, like, okay, what would coach say? What would your coach say? And even if you are your own coach, what would you tell yourself as a coach that you wouldn't think of as a runner? And a lot of those things, and seeing how that impacts the mindset, because, you know, whether it's a marathon, half marathon, if you're going out for your 10K, 5K, you know, there is that, we always talk about it with the marathon, you know, miles 18 to like 22, the wall. But, you know, I don't think a lot of people really necessarily visualize the wall as well in those other races, or even the walls that we hit in training. Cause I can even think, once you start getting, you know, if you're training for a half marathon, once you start getting to those double digit miles, like that half marathon really starts getting serious. And it becomes kind of a, a stepping stone to that, that really isn't present in a lot of other training modes. Cause in marathon training mode, you hit double digit miles so early on in the training build. And then with stuff like 5K and 10K, you never get that. But, you know, you hit that 10 mile run and you're, you know, 8 to 12 weeks into a training cycle and you hit that 10 mile run. You're like, all right, well, we're really starting to get serious. We're like, you know, 5-6 weeks away from the race and really starting to get up. How am I doing nutrition? And it can be really easy to kind of hit that wall and just say, oh, you know, get kind of scared or shook or something like that. And so really bringing it in. And then I think there's the other part of that, that, you know, they have you as the coach, but they also, you know, I wonder also how much that puts on the community that's around them too. How much of this training isn't happening in isolation in and of themselves. And I often think about that when we're training, especially when you're in clubs like this that offer, that are able to offer coaching like you all offer, of there is that reliance on the coach, but then also reliance on the community as well and how coaches might be able to use that for them. You know, listeners, remember back to that conversation I had with Candace and what they do in the Richmond scene with Sportsbackers marathon training team, how they really congregate around that communal setting. And, you know, assured that, you know, Montgomery County does stuff like that, you know, Topwater Striders down here with all these different groups, how they line that coaching up to impact with the community. So let's jump into these end of podcast questions. It's always interesting because like you think you might know based on the conversation, but you never do know. So Libby, what is your favorite distance to race?
Yeah, good question. So I think I have kind of this like love letter with the marathon. And I think it's just because no matter what, for me, I'll run 10 marathons at the end of the year. It never gets easier. And I think there's something about falling in love with a challenge like that. No matter what marathon I've done, there's always part where it's like the training, the dauntingness of it. But there's this piece of like, it's something so special about when you put in 4 to 5 months worth of work that the majority of the world doesn't see. They get to see the 3 or 4 hours at the race and they celebrate that, but they don't see the getting up, the training, the routine, all of that. I think I have fallen in love with that whole experience of the training part of it. And I know that every time I go up to race a marathon, there's a part of me that's always like, can I do it? And then getting sort of to the end and sort of being elated and being like, it was hard, but I got through it. And so it keeps me coming back, even though every time I say I run one, I'm like, I'm never doing that again. A couple of weeks later, that sort of drive to like want to do that again comes back. So there's something about it. I just love it.
So I think this is going to be a question that I start adding is kind of coming off of that. So what's your favorite marathon then?
So my favorite marathon that I've done, I have two. I loved the Richmond Marathon, and that was because, one, it's a great production, but also, so I had done the Marine Corps Marathon 2 weeks prior to that. I was just short of running my Boston qualifying time at Marine Corps. And 2 weeks later I went and ran Richmond, and I was going into Richmond with so much doubt, so much uncertainty. I really wanted to Boston qualify. And I just run a marathon 2 weeks before that didn't go the way I wanted. And I was so unsure of myself. And when I ran Richmond, I could see it ending one of two ways. And I was able to Boston qualify at the end. And I just remember like having tears in my eyes because I just couldn't believe that I did that. And that race was just so magical for me. And I think back on that memory of like my husband and dogs were on the course, like, I had friends from the community also running that race with me, and we all started together. I had one of my neighbors drive down, and she was like cheering out for me on the course. And, you know, I was so ready to accept defeat after Marine Corps, and I'm so glad that I didn't. And I was like, no, I can do this. I just needed the right weather, the right course to line up for me. And so that just was like a really great memory for me. And then the other one, I'm going to say is Shamrock, just because I really enjoy the atmosphere. I think I'm a beach person. I like being by the water. And so that was really fun. It's a great time of year. I think all of us out here with, I don't run well in heat. So a fall race is like 50-50 what you're going to get. So it's like, you got to target the March marathon to have a good, good time.
I don't know. The 50-50 though with Shamrock is, it could be like a really beautiful day, which it was in 2023. But then 2024, it was just like really warm, which is weird. Cause like, it never gets like really warm. It's always like either like super cold and like rainy, or it's like almost perfect weather with like 40 degree at the start, getting up to like into the 50s, maybe 60s. This year it was like, and no, folks, she's not legally obligated to say Shamrock. It truly is an amazing race. And everybody should come and experience the funness. It's not just the race. It's the atmosphere the whole weekend. It's, you know, I'll piggyback off of that, because one of the things that I appreciate is I love Richmond too. Like, Richmond's one of my favorite marathons, and it really is just the atmosphere. And for me, it's the atmosphere itself. But I have to say, no one does like a whole weekend, like a whole weekend of racing like J&A. And it's and Shamrock really is like something where it's like, that's just, the whole weekend is fun, from the packet pickup to the race to the after party. So, you know, I can't get on Libby for picking that one. So let's keep on going here. Let's a lot of time on like racing. But Libby, what is your favorite post run, like, food, snack, meal, drink? Like, you finish up a run, what are you going after?
So I'm a big pizza person. I love pizza.
Okay.
It's probably one of my favorite, like, post run. I can't eat right after a race. It takes me a little bit to get my appetite back. But I'm usually always down for pizza. So always looking for, wherever I do a travel race, try to find the best pizza spot. Sort of my like to-do list on like what I check out. So I'm running Chicago in the fall, so I gotta start looking at my deep dish pizza spots. So I'm excited about that.
And then finally, give our listeners a reason to join their local run club or group meetup.
It's the best thing that you'll ever do. It will change your life. It really will. I think you, beyond just the physical part of running, you will find the people that you were meant to sort of connect with. I think there's like, I feel like I'm a big believer in like fate. And so like life just has a way of sort of working things out. But you know, you will start to create, you know, a community within, you know, a hobby that you love and the thing that you share. And I think that's really special. I think not a lot, you know, when I meet my coworkers, I'm like, what's your hobby? I'm like, nobody has an answer. And I feel really lucky that we have this hobby that has not only, like, I feel like 20 years ago, running was sort of like, people run. And now you interact with so many people now who, they're enjoying it and they're finding enjoyment on it. And they're just, or they're just discovering it for the first time. And I'm one of those people that's like, the more, the better. The more people we have out there, the more people we have out racing, no matter where you fit in the lineup of the corral, the better. Cause like I said, we're all getting better with our physical fitness, but mental health as well. And we're going to create a better livelihood for the folks around us by setting this example of, you know, taking our health and fitness seriously. So yeah, I would say just join in. You know, don't go with expectations, but you know, start showing up more regularly, introduce yourself, and you will be surprised, I think, at what sort of comes from it. And then you'll look back a couple of years later, like I am, and sort of am like pleasantly surprised at like how much I've been able to insert myself in a community, which at times could seem really daunting because it's a bigger community. But now I feel like I have my little piece of the puzzle through joining the running club.
Again, it's hard to, you know, think about anything, you know, these amazing answers that we get a lot of times on these questions, and finding those spaces where we can connect together, because it, you know, makes us better runners, makes us better people. And like you said, you know, you've been able to find it everywhere you've gone is, you know, in the transient nature of your life, what's been the constant is being able to find a group of runners that you can just knock out miles with and at so many different paces. So Libby, thank you so much for joining. This was what an amazing conversation.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I just love that focus, especially there at the end, on how much this idea of community can really change and impact you. You see that over the course of Libby's journey from moving to place to place to place, what is the constant? The constant for her was being able to find a group of folks who could run together. And if that can happen in each and every one of our individual communities, think of how much stronger the running community overall is. How are we connecting those folks? And what does it look like? I understand Libby is extroverted. We might have some folks who are listening to this who might be a little bit more timid, but the opportunities for connection, you don't have to jump in and lead like Libby. That's who she is. But even if you're just looking for a place to connect with folks, to run with folks, to get that encouragement, that is what we hope to bring. And so if this podcast can teach you anything, it's, you know, get out to that local run club, get out to that local group, and let's continue to grow this thing that we call community. And so as we wrap this episode up, I want to thank you again, always joining. Make sure to subscribe, follow this podcast. You can find me on Instagram at running_rev. Also, make sure to subscribe over on Substack, runninrev.com. Those are ways that you can connect with me, with the podcast, making sure that in your feeds as soon as it hits the airwaves on Friday mornings. Make sure you are following. If you would also head on or maybe leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or a comment on Spotify. You know, I love posting those Spotify comments on social media. And so thank you, Chris Dat Frenchy, for giving me another great comment on the last episode with Allison. If you leave a review on Apple Podcasts, I will read it here in the outro of the next episode. So I would love to see some more folks telling me what they love about this podcast. You know, even if you have some guest recommendations or you would love to be a guest, feel free to reach out to me. You can reach out to me on Instagram. Go ahead and DM me. You can email me, andrew@runninrev.com. And just let me know if you'd be interested in sharing your story. And you can even support me by going over buymeacoffee.com and literally buy me a coffee, buy me a beer, help support the podcast. There's options for both monthly donation, becoming a monthly member, or to just drop a tip. If you just loved this episode and this episode just really hit you and you want to drop a tip and just say great job on the episode with Libby, feel free to go over there, drop a tip, let me know how much you love it, and you're helping to support the podcast. You're helping me to make sure I've got good equipment. You're helping me to make sure I have the ability to keep on posting and all of this stuff. And so thank you all so much for your support. Connect with me online, and remember this week, make every mile count.